answer me when I pray, O God, my defender. When I was in trouble, you helped me. Be kind to me now and hear my prayer. How long will you people insult me? How long will you love what is worthless and go after what is fake? Remember that the Lord has chosen the righteous for his own, and he hears me when I call to him. Tremble with fear and stop sinning. Think deeply about this when you lie in silence on your beds. Offer the right sacrifices to the Lord and put your trust in him. There are many who pray, "Give us more blessings, O Lord. Look on us with kindness." But the joy that you have given me is more than they will ever have with all their grain and wine. When I lie down, I go to sleep in peace. You alone, O Lord, keep me perfectly safe.
Lord, we thank you that even when we have turned from you, you have turned your face towards us and been gracious to us. That's why we can lay ourselves down in peace and sleep and rest well, because you are a God who loves us and forgives us. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Who told you about Jesus? Who told them about Jesus? Who are you going to tell about Jesus? Today, we're thinking about Peter and the other disciples as the first ever witnesses, without whom we would never have heard about Jesus. But they are only the first in a long chain of people who have been witnesses to Jesus. The women at the empty tomb, two men and Jesus on the road to Emmaus. The disciples in that room, peace to you. The disciples fishing and on the beach with the barbecue. The disciples looking up to Jesus as he ascends. Peter preaching, the sharing of bread, a book being written, collating the memories. What will happen next in the story, in the line of witnesses to God's story? It's been handed to us to pass on like a baton. This is what Jesus said.
This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.
Jesus says, you are witnesses of these things. That's both a statement and a commissioning. The disciples who have experienced these things firsthand are now given the responsibility to bear witness to what they've seen and heard. And through this Easter season, we have again experienced these things anew, and we're called to be witnesses. So who told you about Jesus? Who told them about Jesus? Who are you going to tell about Jesus? And we don't have to have it all together. We don't have to have all the answers. The first disciples had doubts and questions too. Jesus said to them,
"Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have."
Joy, disbelief and wondering. A bucket full of mixed emotions. The disciples hadn't got it all sorted. They didn't fully understand what had happened to them or what it meant. But nevertheless, Jesus entrusts to them the task of witness. And he goes on to promise the gift of the Spirit to empower them. Jesus has to explain everything to them.
This is what I told you while I was still with you, Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.
It is so easy to think that we have to have it all sorted, but Jesus uses us just as we are, in certainty and confusion, in joy and despair, and challenges us to bear witness to what God is still doing in our world and in our lives. Just look at the example of Peter. Luke 24, the resurrection stories, and Peter is cowering with the rest of them. By Acts 3, Peter and John have become the witnesses that Jesus said they were. Listen to the change in Peter just 4 chapters on in Luke's account of Jesus and the early church.
Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by your own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this.
We are witnesses of this. We don't need to be qualified or theologically trained. We just need to tell the story and tell our story. So who told you about Jesus? Who told them about Jesus? Who are you going to tell about Jesus? And we don't have to do this alone. We have one another for company and for encouragement and for prayer, but we also have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said,
"You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
We're a few weeks away from Pentecost, the season of the church year when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But we are a people who are full of the Holy Spirit. Day by day, we live in the power of the Spirit all year round. Jesus sent his Spirit so that we can be his witnesses. Think of something that you're passionate about, your favourite book or food or sport. Imagine talking about that to someone. How does it feel to talk about something we care about, something we really love? Now imagine talking about Jesus, our faith or our church community and why it's important to us in the same way. Witnessing doesn't have to be scary. The question, of course, is not whether we will be witnesses. It's what kind of witnesses we are. My prayer is that I will be like Philemon. Paul writes to him,
"Each time I mention you in my prayers, I thank God. I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and about your love for all of God's people. As you share your faith with others, I pray that they may come to know all the blessings Christ has given us."
Sharing our faith with others, sharing the good news. Hackney motor mechanic Errol McKellar became famous for launching a one-man crusade against prostate cancer. Back in 2010, while sitting in a GP's waiting room, he read a leaflet about it and decided to ask about a test. Despite having no symptoms, the test showed that he had the disease. He was treated and made a full recovery. Errol realised that a simple spur-of-the-moment decision not only saved his life, but changed it forever. He determined to share the news with anyone who would listen, and vowed to speak to every man who came into his garage, encouraging them to be checked. He even offered special discounts to customers who agreed to have a test. When a press reporter asked him if it was a bit embarrassing or if people thought he was odd for talking to them about cancer, he replied it was too important not to share. By 2014, Errol had spoken to over 3,000 people and 23 of his customers had been diagnosed and successfully treated. His determination to talk to people about the thing that saved his life has saved the lives of 23 others. This is the kind of witness Jesus calls us to be. Our message is too important not to share. Errol found a way to speak his message within the context of his ordinary life, and and he made an extraordinary gesture to do that. Who told you about Jesus? Who told them about Jesus? Who are you going to tell about Jesus?